How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
It's ours. Only the degenerates, only the dirtbags. We're talking about dirtbag Thanksgiving, guys, yep. Right? Dirtbag hometown Thanksgiving. And don't lie if you've never had one, okay? Don't lie if you never had a one-night stand with the fucking the night before with that one person that you're just like, all right.
I think I...
Nobody else is here.
I've had one from the hut on the night before Thanksgiving.
From the hut, right? Mm-hmm. You come back into town. Usually we're coming from like LA or something, right? So we're like, hey guys.
I'm the shit.
How's it going here in the sticks, right? They're still sitting on the same bar stool and you're like, I'll throw them a bone, right? They'll talk about it forever.
I'll throw them a boner. Nailed it.
Yep, you will. Yeah, nailed
fucking
it.
Got him.
He was even uncomfortable when he said it, huh? You could tell.
Yeah.
It didn't really come out as confidently as he wanted it to, but it
I
worked.
I just cut to my angle at the same time of saying it.
Yeah, so you're like,
Joel's boners never come out confidently.
I'll throw you a boner. Nailed it. Sorry. Right? He's like, I didn't mean it.
Had to.
Getting together on a Sunday fun day. I like these.
Me they too. Are nice.
I like these. Still kind of light outside, but getting to drinking time, right? Mm-hmm. For mom.
Yep. Oh, I have something to say real quick.
Oh, boy.
So the last episode, you know, you compared the couple that was murdered to like Romeo and Juliet in the beginning. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody...
You did. Oh.
Coop did.
Okay.
Jesse never
somebody in the comments wrote...
No, I hate Shakespeare. I think he's a fucking fraud. We all know that.
Hack.
AI. Go ahead.
Anyway, someone in the comments wrote, not to stir things up at all, but I'm pretty sure that Romeo and Juliet came out in 1997.
By the way.
Wait a second. They might be right.
Blammo nailed it. One of them did, yeah. One of them did.
I think it's the Leonardo DiCaprio one.
That would be the shit if it was.
That's the only one I acknowledge, really. Although I did see the older one back in my day.
Oh, so close. 1996.
But we don't, you know.
Well, it was close. Are you telling the truth?
Yeah, because you do lie about 1997 a lot.
Yeah, I think it came out in 97.
I'm not lying about it because it didn't happen in 97.
I think it came out in 97.
It says here 1996.
Depending on who it was.
And you believe the internet now? But before you
is it Box Office Joe or is it?
I believe the internet when the internet agrees with me because in those situations the internet's right.
Perfect, dude. Perfect, buddy. So, yeah, you know, we're giving thanks. I want to give thanks to you guys, and I am thankful for you guys.
Sorry.
So gay, I know. So gay, going to get gay really quick. Although we did play the waiting in line music for Riddler.
Which was
Six
awesome.
Flags.
Which was
so
awesome.
So when we're talking about the gay meter, I don't know. We're cool. All up there, huh?
True.
We're all hitting the red.
Yeah, it's a good hype song.
It does kind of throw the reference.
I'm thankful for you guys. You guys, you know, before you were out here, I was just fucking, we were doing this shit and I was with all these dumb guys. You know who I'm talking about. My husband, Dan, right? Doing this show, making it work. You guys being out here revitalized a lot of stuff in me. I have my creative fucking bros in town. We're trying to do stuff. And so...
Shooting skits and stuff
thank
again.
You. It got a lot better for me out here when you guys came. So thankful for you, gay, dumb, gay, right?
Look,
but I am.
It is dumb and gay, but I'm thankful for you guys also. This is, like, honestly, this is my favorite part of the week, every single week. I'm always happy to come out here and do the show. I can only handle you guys for, like, a couple hours at a time.
Hey,
but that
same.
Couple hours is fucking great.
Listen, same. But gosh, isn't it fun?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like the night before Thanksgiving in the hometown. What do you throw them, Joel?
A boner,
Joel. You throw him a boner, huh? Okay, so we've got a fun one. We've got a fun one. Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner. Yay!
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
You can't say that every time.
I don't!
That makes me feel like I need to start doing that from now on.
Same.
Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
I know it's hard for you to not do that. We've got a good one that Coop brought to our attention. Hard to find like holiday, good holiday crimes.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I don't know. I mean...
We've had some.
JonBenet was on Christmas, so I feel like we've got to maybe get into that one. A lot of people are asking because there's new, you know, refund.
Karate?
There's new karate happening. People are thinking about it again. I don't know. But that was Christmas.
That is one of the biggest true crime cases out there.
Right.
Practically started the true crime. Genre.
Yeah, crazy
so
that we haven't done it.
Pay homage and do it at some point, but we're going to do it our way and we're going to do it right.
Yeah, and we're going to make it fun. We're going to make it flirty and we're going to solve it just like we do every other case. Mm-hmm. Yep, on the case. So hey, this should we get into it? Should we dig into the Thanksgiving turkey and stuffing? Only things that are good on the table.
All right. Well, you got to have broccoli cheese casserole. My mom stuffed
what?
With the crackers, the Ritz crackers on top.
That
shit's bomb.
God, that's all I eat.
Is it a chicken too?
No chicken, nothing like that. It's
literally
broccoli cheese and Ritz crackers, and that's about
sounds
it.
Sounds gross, but it's delicious.
It's
or it sounds simple, but it's.
I think
bomb.
I do need to say too. I only like the super like white trash stuff on Thanksgiving.
Oh, this
like
is made with Velveeta, so
exactly
that's about
right.
As white trash as you get.
Ooh, like the green bean casserole with the Campbell's soup and stuff. Like I don't want anything to be like from scratch or you know what I mean? Have real sage in it.
Nobody's made anything from scratch for Thanksgiving since the first fucking Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
That's stop doing it.
That's what I want. Old school, everything's Campbell's, everything's Velveeta, right? Best foods.
Very
yes.
Campbell's Thanksgiving.
Yep. Anyway, let's dig in, guys.
All right, so we're going to be talking about the 2009 Thanksgiving Day Massacre.
Oh, sorry, Joel. It's a massacre.
Great.
Yeah, cool.
Yay, Thanksgiving. Woo! It's all about thanks.
Thankful. Thankful for crying.
Considering the results of the most recent U.S. election, this year's Thanksgiving is likely to be fraught with more tension than average.
Oh, so true.
Yeah, seriously. But while you sit and listen to your elderly grandfather make racially and politically charged comments to members of your non-binary cousin's new polyamorous genderqueer thruple, take comfort in the fact that you're not related to Paul Michael marriage.
Mm.
Our story this week takes us to what... Why are there... There's a fruit fly on my notes. Get off of here.
This fucking studio, I
Jesus
swear to
Christ,
God.
Just,
I'm sorry, guys.
Just lousy with louses.
Serious.
Our story this week takes us to what many call the Australia of the Northern Hemisphere.
Arnar.
Like their Aussie cousins, the men and women of the Sunshine State risk their lives on a daily basis just by walking out of their front door. The family of Paul Marriage learned the hard way that it's not just the alligators, panthers, water moccasin, wild boar, bull sharks, jellyfish, bears, or the two different species of rattlesnakes native to Florida you have to worry about. You also have to keep an eye on your own family.
Yeah. So this case, too, is It's about that one family, that not even a family member, but that one person. I used to spend Thanksgiving in Bakersfield.
No shit.
Younger, when I was younger. And there was that one, the one person, it was crackhead.
Jonathan Davis?
Crackhead cousin, right? That fucking rides the broken bike over and is like, where is it nice? He was a nice guy, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't scared. But it was always like, all right, man, you know, like, here he is.
You're here.
You're here and you're high as a motherfucking kite. And you want some food and some laughs and whatever. And it was harmless. But I think that everyone, does everyone have that? That one person in the family that comes to the bigger stuff that you're like, hey, they. Or
it's
is
like
it
everybody.
You
too? Yeah, I'm the guy.
Yeah, Coop said, I don't have that. I go, oh, you're the guy then. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because everyone.
Learn that the hard way.
Right. Everyone has that. Oh, invite him. Just invite him. He doesn't have anybody, right? Or don't invite him and he's going to show up, right? So.
Mm. Guilty.
There's a little bit of that in here too that I'm feeling.
So Coop is that in his family, and everybody in my family is that.
You don't have one that sticks out.
We're
where
all
you
fucking
go
insane, no? Maybe it was okay. My mom. It might have been my mom. That's why she's dead.
There wasn't like a distant or a friend of a friend or a boyfriend or girlfriend of someone or no that you're just like, oh
no.
Okay,
but I was usually ditching Thanksgiving. I skipped out on Thanksgiving a lot.
Yeah, so I think you guys are both the one.
Yeah.
You guys are both the one, yeah.
The criminals.
20 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we bonded over that unknowingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, good to know.
We started doing Thanksgiving dinner at the old warehouse back in the day with all the weird idiots from our old film crew. We'd just all get together and do Thanksgiving by ourselves.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, I do friend thanks, you know.
The Friendsgiving thing.
Friendsgiving on actual Thanksgiving, but because...
You had a perfect family, Jesse. Good for you.
No. I just said my literal crackhead cousin would ride a bike if he could steal one. So, like, no. No. There was always fights. I had a racist grandpa that was fun, though. I got to the point where I was like, not changing his mind. It's kind of fun, right? Poke him, prod him, right?
Yeah, well,
get him started.
It's like a time capsule.
Yeah.
This is what it was like back in the 50s.
Yeah. He would ask me to get on up there and give me a beer. And I would just do it, right? Because, like, what am I going to do? Grandpa, women don't do that. Now he goes, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. I would just have fun with it.
Brain not work the same as it used to, but those fists, they'll still come flying if you talk back.
Yeah, it's like they'll be senile, but like the racist massage, like that stuff stays forever and gets bigger. Those parts of the brain just take over.
That's actually true.
The
human brain that will continue to develop all the way until death.
Yeah.
The racist part of the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a racist great grandma. She was so racist.
We all did.
I had a Cocker Spaniel, and it was black. Mm-hmm. So she called it the N-word dog. She said, get that goddamn dog out of here.
Damn, even with dogs.
Fucking good, dude.
She had two blonde Cocker Spaniels, and they were allowed in the house, but my dog had to stay outside whenever we'd go over there.
He wasn't allowed in the house. Did she name him Goering and Goebbels?
No, I don't know their names.
That's really good. Yeah, my brother dyed his hair. Something like in high school, you know, when we had dye your hair or whatever. He dyed his hair black. He's like, you look like a goddamn Mexican. And it's like, remember at that time I thought I was?
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I am Mexican, Grandpa. He's like, it's the whole thing, right? I had the whole thing.
That's good.
And I hope that all of you do too. You gotta have a racist grandpa at fucking Thanksgiving, right?
That's how you learn.
It's the best.
So you learn what not to do.
Yeah, and then you have to have someone coming right from college ready to fight with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Someone that's trying to prove themselves.
Yeah. Someone that just learned something.
Yeah.
In like political science or something. You're like, actually, grandpa.
You're only Mexican if you're born in Mexico.
Yeah. Fun fact, Grandpa. Women can vote now. He's like, God damn it. Well, there it all goes.
Yeah. I knew something was wrong.
Yep. Well, just forget it then. Okay, so on Thursday, November 26th, started out like any other Thanksgiving. In 2009, yes, November 26th. Started out like any other Thanksgiving get-together for the marriage.
Marriage.
Yeah, very
French. I think they're Latino or something like that. But
I think it's French because the daughter was learning French. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thanksgiving get together for the marriage family of Jupiter, Florida. Had to be. We're back in Florida.
Back in Florida again.
Again, 17 members of their clan had gathered at the home of Jim and Muriel Sitton to sing songs, eat food, and air grievances in celebration of the day Jesus defeated the Native Americans and founded the greatest country on earth.
Yeah!
Wow.
Coop's the only one that's fucking down with you. Yeah!
Fuck yeah!
Yeah, fuck yeah, fuck
yeah! Killed the Native Americans!
Three generations of the family were present at the celebration. The oldest, Raymond Joseph, and Dr. Antoine.
It's Ramonde Joseph. That's the name of the
Ramonde.
Oldest aunt.
And then, Antoine. Sorry, Ramonde Joseph.
Antoine Joseph.
They were celebrating over 50 years of marriage. Aww. Antoine's sister, Carol Marriage. What?
No, I love it.
Is it not right?
Antoine.
Ramonde and Antoine.
Is it Antoine?
Mm-hmm.
I like Antonio.
Antoine?
Antoine. It's way better.
Antoine,
we'll go with
that. Yeah!
Antoine!
America! That you'll get excited about.
That's the America I love right there.
Antones?
Just pronounce words any fucking way you want.
Hell yeah.
Antone's sister, Carol Marriage. Had come with her husband, Michael, as well as their three adult children, a 35-year-old son named Paul, and his 33-year-old twin sisters, Carla and Lisa. Carl Marriage and Lisa Knight. Lisa's married.
Sup, ladies? How old are they?
What's up? Sup, ladies?
I bet
I think
not.
I sent
little
you
young
a...
for you. They're pretty girls.
I sent you a picture.
Yep.
Of the twin sisters.
You did?
I did. At the time, Lisa was carrying a fourth generation of the family who was to be born only a few months later. So Lisa Knight is pregnant.
Oh yeah, they're cute. They scare me though. Look at them.
Yeah.
The matching hair is a little scary.
Oh, they're twins.
They're twins, bro.
They can't help it.
Carol and Michael's oldest son, Paul, had arrived at the party over an hour late. Mm-hmm. By the time he finally showed up, the rest of the family was just sitting down to eat. As everyone else chatted and enjoyed the food, Paul sat quietly without serving himself a plate. This wasn't uncommon for Paul, who had been diagnosed with severe depression and OCD as a teenager. As far as the family was concerned, it was just Paul being Paul. In a sick twist of fate, Paul had specifically not been invited to the dinner.
Damn.
Due to his habit of starting fights. In fact, most of the family hadn't seen him in over 10 years. Unbeknownst to the rest of the family, Paul's father had invited him to join them for the holiday. When Paul's mother found out he was coming to dinner, she told her daughter Lisa, "I hope he doesn't kill us all tonight."
Oh, God.
You know, because he's the one.
Is that foreshadow?
I think I probably thought a couple times that the crackhead might fucking snap one of these times, right? And you probably just go, well, hope he's in a good mood, right? Like,
It's my time.
So they were even like, so he was that guy where you're just like, who invited Paul?
Oof.
I know.
But it's not a funny joke, is it?
What?
I hope he doesn't kill us tonight.
Well, at the time, I'm
at
sure.
At the time, they, you know, because of all his issues and he was the weird one, like I'm saying, I probably said about,
me?
You know, the cousin, you. No, the cousin that fucking rides up
every
on the bike. I've probably been like,
corner, well, hope Joel and Coop don't kill me this week.
Yeah. Hope he's not coming down and snap and kill all. You know, you probably are just like, okay, here he comes.
Yeah.
not really thinking that he would, but it, yeah, you kind of just like, go, he's, it's, you're talking
overall,
shit.
It seems like the father, Michael, was a little bit more protective and accepting, because the, you know, the mom and the two daughters all seem to kind of have an issue with Paul, but right. they wouldn't bring it up to Michael because he'd take
right.
it poorly.
He would get mad because he's like, no, he's just going through something, as the dads like to do, right? It's just a phase.
You know, sometimes a phase clears up after 35 years.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Up until his late teens, Paul had been a promising young man. He attended a prestigious private school in Miami where he performed well academically. He was even an honor student, actually. So he did pretty damn well in school. Among his classmates, he was known to be friendly, athletic, and an all-around likable guy. He even dedicated his senior yearbook page to his family. He first started by thanking his parents for bestowing on him the morals and wisdom he needed to succeed in life. He then went on to thank his siblings and extended family. The following is an excerpt from his senior quote.
Which was really long. We're just reading some of it.
Yeah, there was like
Should I show his picture?
He wrote a lot.
Yeah, let's bring up a picture of Paul and all.
Yeah, there he is. Nerd.
So
you know.
To Lisa and Carla, his sisters that were twins, I have been so lucky to be blessed with having twin sisters and being your protective older brother. We may fight a lot, but that is only because we love each other so much and would not trade it for the world.
Hmm.
We show our affection with each other in a funny way.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Kind of creepy.
I would
sort of
never.
Like something that, you know, I may hit you, but you make me do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's because we love each other so much that we beat the shit out of each other.
I'm a passionate man.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, thanks to my two grandmothers, grandfather, aunts, uncles, my cousins, all 32 of us in the family, for the support, strength, and courage to seek all that lies ahead. I love you now and will forever.
Yeah, so
it's kind of sweet.
The
ending was kind of sweet.
If my brother ever wrote that in a yearbook, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
is he suicidal?
I don't know. It's just it's over the top and weird, I think.
It was even noted that
in high school,
in comparison to what all the other seniors had used their yearbook pages for, all of them were making jokes or
they, like,
you know, talking about
that. I'd like to thank D's Nuts, you know, probably around that year.
And his was just all saccharine and heartfelt and sweet through the entire fucking thing.
Yeah.
So obviously bullshit. He was just performing.
A high schooler that talks like that, it's a red flag, I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
Yep.
For sure. A teenager being sweet, they're up to something.
Yeah.
I used to just sign people's yearbooks right on the crack and say, first to sign your crack. I thought it was really funny.
Yep.
Like it's a butt crack.
Oh, I get it now.
Pretty cool, huh?
Ooh, yeah. Yearbook signing. I'm a badass bitch in summer.
Have a great summer.
Yeah. Huh?
Things began to deteriorate for Paul and Joel as they got older.
What?
And his underlying mental issues began to arise. No, I just threw that in.
Yep.
In his late teens, Paul began to suffer from depression, anxiety, and obsessive-compulsive disorder, leading him to be put on multiple medications. From there, it was all downhill. At 19, Paul had a nervous breakdown, leading to even more conflict with his family. Now unable to hold down a job, his parents were forced to support him financially, paying for his car and apartment up until he finally moved back home in his 20s. From there, he would continue staying with his parents until 2009.
Shit.
They finally forced him to move out after that.
Yeah, but I think they bought him a place to live, right?
So they actually bought him a condo?
Yeah,
I thought they were just renting
like,
him an apartment or something like that. That is fucking insane.
I think because they wanted to, it had to be some kind of investment. If they're just playing rent, it's like throwing
money
away on your fucking, right?
So
at least
if
they own it, they can kick him out. They can be in charge of shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he had, I think the main thing was OCD, and all of this kind of presented pretty hardcore once he went to college. Do we say that he went University of Miami, right?
He did leave to go to the University of Miami.
Yeah.
But
and this is kind of when everything, like the mental breakdown and hardcore, because he was by himself. He
what was he so mentally broken down about? Like, what's so hard?
if you have mental issues, most of the time, it's well known that if you have any underlying mental issues, it will come out the first time that you are away from home and the pressures of college, you know, all of this stuff. If you don't have underlying issues, it's just hard. The first year is hard and you go through some shit. But if you have like something that's kind of been there, it's going to come up when you're in that environment. His OCD kind of presented as washing and shaving constantly.
And he's definitely not a guy that should go without a beard.
Right. But like many, many showers a day, like constantly.
It usually goes hand in hand with something like hypochondria, so obsessive hand washing and things like that.
Paul had run-ins with the law a handful of times in his 20s and 30s, mostly due to fighting with his family. You know those sisters he loved so much?
Really, really
showed
loved
their
a lot.
Love in a funny way. He had a bad habit of threatening to kill people, and when he got in trouble, he would threaten to kill himself. His sister Lisa took his threat seriously enough to get a restraining order against him in 2006. But shortly after, she removed the restraining order when Paul, you guessed it, threatened to kill her and then himself. So
definitely the way to put somebody at ease when you're trying to get them to remove a restraining order.
Yeah, like I'll fucking kill you if you don't.
I'll kill you and then I'll kill myself and then it's going to be your fault.
Yeah. But this happened a couple of times back and forth of like a restraining order being put out or them going to court and then it just being dropped. And you're kind of like, okay.
And it seems like from the way that they try to avoid the subject with Michael, the father of the family, it's probably him. My assumption is that it's him stepping in to take care of all these things.
Yes. You can't do this. It'll ruin the family. We can't have it getting out. Mm. Yeah. Paul's suicidal threats weren't empty. He attempted to go through with it on a few occasions, the most serious of which involving a gunshot wound to the chest. It would seem that murder and suicide are a family tradition, given the history of his aunt,
Salwa Marij Abrams.
Salwa Marij Abrams. Lots of names, these people, huh? Mm-hmm.
She even I changed the spelling of her name because the official spelling of her name was different from the spelling of the rest of the family for some goddamn reason.
Aunt Salwa was another member of the marriage family with a bright future. She was an up-and-coming mezzo-soprano with a growing career, a successful husband named James, and two beautiful children. But in 1973, her world fell apart when she learned her husband of 19 years was leaving her for a young flight attendant. Well?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's gonna happen.
Don't get old.
Tale as old as time, yeah, sorry. Heartbroken and full of crazy, Salwa called her soon-to-be former husband over to the family home in Miami to discuss the divorce. As their two children waited in the car, Salwa lured James into the master bedroom where she shot him 4 times in the chest.
Oh,
shit. She then called her 14-year-old son, Jack, inside where she shot him 6 times. Her 10-year-old daughter, Melissa Ann, again, they all have a bunch of names. Yeah. Was the next to die after killing her entire family. Salwa Marij overdosed on prescription medication. She died after spending 5 days in a coma. With a pedigree like Paul's, it wasn't a matter of if he would snap. It was a matter of when. Unfortunately for his family, Paul had snapped long before Thanksgiving dinner in 2009.
So that was his father's sister, his father Michael. It was his sister that straight up murdered her husband.
So his auntie.
His aunt killed both of her kids, overdosed on medication, 5 days in a coma, ended up dying. This is the type of family that he's coming from. So there's obviously a history of mental illness in this family.
Mental illness, and then there's a history of kind of keeping it under wraps.
Yeah.
Because the sister, everyone else in the family is pretty accomplished, does very well. The sisters are, you know, great, married, kids, you know, everyone's good. So if you have this one,
the kid
just kind of like,
the kid die?
What
her
kid?
Her kid.
Both of them.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
She oh, the mother. Aunt. Yeah. And that was in the 70s?
70s. Yeah, yeah. 1976.
Oh, I think.
So
70s.
It was way before all the 70s where leaving for a flight attendant can result in some crazy shit.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Ho ho! Welcome to the Make It Jingle with Kris Kringle podcast. Today we're talking to Jan from Toyota, all about Toyotathon.
Hi!
So, Jan, got any red Tacomas?
Yeah, we have a great selection of vehicles, including Tacomas.
After my big job, I'm taking the missus down to Florida to go surfing.
Did you say Florida? Can the elves and I go too?
Dealer inventory may vary. Offers are subject to change throughout Toyotathon, which ends on January 6th. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Toyota, let's go places.
Don't cheat.
But yeah, so it was before Paul was even born, but his dad knew what could happen if someone is not properly taken care of with mental issues. Just saying.
There was only one really in-depth article that I could find about Salwa that had the details of the case, and it seems like in that situation, Michael had to have been seeing the same warning signs in Paul that he was seeing in Salwa. He had to have seen some of the same patterns or activities, and even then still wanted to brush it under the rug. I'm not the type to use WASP very much, but that was a very WASPy thing to do.
Yes. It was like the other case in Florida with the guy eating the face.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the parents being like, no.
That's the most disturbing one.
So yeah, you had a hard time with that one. Mm-hmm. But the parents were like, no, like, he's fine. He just, you know, just let him do his thing. And that's what was kind of going on here. There's actually no information about exactly what medication he was on. I'm guessing it was pretty, I'm guessing it was for OCD medication. And then he was on Rogaine.
Ooh.
Yeah.
With minoxidil?
Yes, which good, has, good. You know, some of its own side effects,
Rogaine's
right?
For your hair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old school. Remember Rogaine, dude?
He was on it because he was crazy?
He was going bald.
Well, because he was going bald.
Yeah, he was going bald. And yeah, so think the signs were out there. Like I said, he was in a condo at this point because the parents could not have him living at their house. Driving up the water bill because it was fucking all day showers and shit. God, like, man. That and OCD again doesn't get to a violent place usually, but if it does, it's gradual. So it's something that like builds and builds because you're by yourself thinking of the same thing, you know what I mean, over and over and over and over, and then you snap. But anyway,
after eating, the family gathered around the piano in the living room to sing songs. 6-year-old Michaela Sitton finished off the night by giving the guests a preview of her upcoming performance in her school's rendition of The Nutcracker, which she was scheduled to perform the following day. Everything seemed as it should as the family finished their last song and began settling in for the night. That is, everyone but Paul Michael Marriage. After 3 hours of singing and of eating and singing with his family, Paul excused himself and left the house.
No.
Around 20 minutes later, Paul returned, and the shooting began.
Fuck.
Without warning, he suddenly drew a pistol from his coat and opened fire on the guest. The first victim to fall was his 79-year-old aunt, Ramonde, who he shot in the shoulder. As his uncle Antoine attempted to treat his wife's wound, Paul shot her again in the chest, killing her. He then tried to shoot his uncle in the head, but the pistol jammed. When he cleared the malfunction, Paul turned the pistol on his twin sisters, Lisa and Carla. When Lisa's husband tried to intervene, Paul shot him as well, severely wounding him. You remember, Lisa and Carla were the ones that he dedicated an entire paragraph to in his senior yearbook.
He was blessed to have them, and they showed their love in a funny way.
Very funny ways.
This is really funny.
It gets worse.
Yeah.
After firing the last shot in the magazine, Paul coldly told the surviving family members, "I've been waiting 20 years to do this." He then reloaded his pistol and continued firing, causing a grazing wound to his cousin Clifford. After reloading his weapon once again, Paul moved on to his final target. Somehow, 6-year-old Michaela hadn't woken up during the shooting. She was still asleep when Paul shot her. As he left the room, he turned, raised the pistol, and shot Michaela a second time to ensure she was dead. Fuck. This was the last thing that Michaela's father, Patrick Knight, saw before he lost consciousness from blood loss. When the shooting finally subsided, four members of the family were dead and one was seriously wounded. Before anyone could stop him, Paul disappeared into the night. And technically, I think it's 5 members of the family were dead because Lisa Knight was pregnant when Paul killed her.
Right. Right. So not funny, right?
No.
Can't even try to make a joke about that. But I'm didn't trying. Shoot himself, which you would think, you know, because he's had suicide attempts before and all of this.
He should have done it a long time ago.
Nothing even happened before that. There wasn't like a thing that triggered him.
No, but he had been, so he had been in the condo by himself, probably not taking his medication. The only person he would let into the condo was the house cleaner that I'm sure his parents fucking paid for.
He even got him a fucking cleaner.
I know. And the house cleaner was like, he's not taking his medication. And the parents were like, okay, well, Godspeed, Maria. and...
Okay, thanks for telling us. Do you need any more cleaning supplies?
Is everything else good? Or, yeah. And, again, was not invited, right? Because he's the one that you don't want to be there. Everyone was like, I don't know. He had been texting his mom. I think it was his mom. About, he texted someone either where the house was. I think his mom. Over and over every day, he would text, where's Thanksgiving dinner? How many people are going to be there? What time? And every day would call, get the details. Okay. Call, get the details. That's not a fucking red flag to you? Anyway, even with his long history of mental illness and legal issues, Paul was still somehow able to purchase multiple pistols just a few months before the massacre. So, something's gotten into his head. He's planning.
Yeah.
Stockpiling money and guns. Now 4 of his family members were dead and Paul was armed and on the run. Following the massacre, Paul got into his blue Toyota Camry. Of course. What else would he drive, right? What else would he drive? Blue Toyota Camry and fled. Although unlikely that he would harm any random strangers, police were still in a hurry to find him. They were anxious to introduce him to a friend of theirs named Tyrone, who would be Paul's cellmate and lover for the next 175 years.
And God bless him for it.
Is that the math for how many murders he did?
For the charges, yeah.
Yeah.
For 38 days... Paul evaded police as they pursued him from the neon lights of Miami to the gator-infested swamps of Orlando. The surviving members of the marriage family held news conferences entreating the local population to help them find the monster that murdered their loved ones. Even John Walsh from America's Most Wanted. Remember him?
Yeah.
I remember.
Find you a picture of him in America's Most Wanted. He was helping with the search. It was an episode featuring Jim and Muriel Sitton that would ultimately lead to the capture of Paul Michael Marriage. 38 days is a fucking long time, dude.
For that guy to be able to get
for
away?
For that guy where you know who it is, the family members know who it is, he doesn't have his own shit, like, what?
That's a part that confuses me. Somehow he had the money to go on the run for 38 days. He had to, this kind of guy, he's not going to be sleeping on the streets. He was staying in hotels the entire fucking time.
Yeah. So in the months leading up to it,
they just cut off his debit card or credit card or something.
Yeah.
Like that?
So he had cash. So in the months leading up into it, I think he stockpiled at least like 12,000, I think, in cash. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, John Walsh. The case about his daughter would be a good case to do for the show, because that's why he started America's Most Wanted.
Wait, what?
His daughter got murdered, and that's why he started America's Most Wanted, was to help track down killers.
Yeah.
He's handsome.
Yeah, John Walsh.
Look at that.
Badass.
Look at those leathers, dude.
He makes me wish I was gay.
Yeah. I'd let that You could cut your hair like that.
I think if you put your mind to it, you can do it.
I got better hair than that.
Yeah, so again, 38 days, lots of
And they catch him?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting there. On January 2nd, 2010, Paul and Melinda Pfaff were watching television after a long day of running their small waterfront hotel in Key West, Florida. So we're going back to Florida.
The only place you could
be
on the run, by the way, that you could be on the run for 38 days when everyone knows it's you, is in Key West.
Because every single person
don't
in
you
Key
feel
West
that?
Is like, oh, don't get in that family's
That's
business.
That's where you go to be on the run.
It's 60 miles off the coast of America. It's like a fucking pirate land.
It's practically Puerto Rico.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's full of Haitians, which was weird.
Much to their surprise, a face appeared on the screen that they recognized. He was a perfect match for a guest that had checked in on the 2nd of December, but the name he had given didn't match the name on the television. It would appear that John Doe wasn't who he said he was. Paul and Melinda called the tip line on screen, and within a matter of hours, U.S. Marshals were kicking down the door to Paul Marriage's room.
Yeah.
When the authorities arrived, Paul was laying out materials that indicated he was preparing to kill himself. They should have delayed the raid just a little bit longer and come back to clean up the body. The officers intervened, assuring Paul that there were plenty of inmates in the Florida prison system that would be happy to do that for him. After over a month on the run, he surrendered without resisting, and the owners of the motel were giving a $100,000 reward for their troubles.
Yes.
Ooh, shit.
Because it led to the capture. So he was actually on his computer. Oh, another thing that he did, the OCD, is he would wear two pairs of underwear only, always. So like up on underwear.
He's going to have so much trouble in prison.
Yeah. I don't know why. It's just that's one of the OCD quirks that he had. So I'm guessing the way I picture it, because they said he was on his laptop or computer or whatever when they busted in. Double underwear, probably triple, you know what I mean? Sitting there.
Now he's scared.
And
he wants the extra protection.
They said that he actually went to, like, ran into the bathroom. In there, he had helium tanks and a noose. So, and like plastic bags. So not only was he going to kill himself if they came, but he was going to make it really, really comfortable for himself, right?
Well,
like
he was also
helium, he probably had some acid, you know what I mean? Like do all the things that would
death.
Make it very peaceful, right?
He's going to make it goofy as fuck too, the helium with a squeaky voice.
I know.
Goodbye, cruel world.
Oh God.
Like I didn't understand that, but
I got a picture of John Walsh looking at his double underwear.
Yeah. I sent you a picture of the hotel, too. Can you pull that up?
Yeah, let's see. Is it hotel room? Okay, here it is.
And he paid in cash, which is like, don't let anyone pay in cash for
Look
a
at
fucking
that.
Hotel. So there it is. He had a blender. He was just fucking chilling in there, dude. And he had a
Why is the dresser like that?
They were probably searching.
Okay.
Sure, he had a vacuum because he had to clean it really good all the time.
Oh god!
All double underweared up and shit.
I have never worn two pairs of
double underwear.
It's weird, right? So he had a bunch of, from what I found, like just weird stuff like that. The like again, constant shaving, constant.
We should all wear two pairs of underwear tonight when we get home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it because...
So we understand him more.
I don't get the thought behind it, though.
Can we agree that a diaper counts so I don't have to change my nightly routine?
Two diapers.
Yeah, you can wear the one you're wearing now.
All right.
Yeah, just put underwear over your diaper.
Yeah, put underwear over your pull-ups, dude.
Hey, I'm a big kid now, all right?
Considering the extent of his crimes... prosecutors were dead set on getting the death penalty along with the surviving member of the family. But The surviving members of Paul's family were also ready to flush away the smelly turd that had murdered four members of their family in cold blood. The state of Florida, on the other hand, had different plans for Paul. So we should say that Knight, was it Paul? Wait, who's the...
Patrick? He's a tortured
Who's the
soul.
Brother-in-law, the one that lived?
Oh, it was... well, I thought it was Jim Sitton that was pushing the most for the death penalty.
Yes. Ooh.
He was one. He was a local photojournalist, and he was the one that actually got down on his knees in court and was begging the court to give him the death penalty.
So Michaela's dad... can you pull up that? So Michaela's dad...
Jim Sitton.
No, it had to be Knight. Sorry. Because
Lisa Knight was...
Who was Lisa Knight's husband?
That would have been Patrick Knight.
Okay, so Patrick Knight was... So this is the dad, actually, and the twin sisters. But I sent you, I think, a picture of Michaela, Paul's mom, and then Patrick Knight, who... he ended up surviving. So think about this. He was the one that was shot and lost consciousness. And was in a, had to be put in a medically induced coma.
Yeah.
And
he was in a coma for, I think a couple months. A long time.
And didn't know, when he woke up, had to be told that his wife and his pregnant and his daughter had been shot. He had
horrible.
To learn how to walk. He had to learn how to talk. I mean, he's like,
that's fucked.
So when this trial comes up, he's clearly the one that's like, dude, fuck this.
It was Jim Sitton, who was the father of Michaela, because they were the ones that did the interview on America's Most Wanted. And that's why he was the one that was so adamant on getting the death penalty.
Okay.
What's his name?
Pretty sure that's what was coming up in the... Jim Sitton, because it was him and his wife Muriel that appeared on America's Most Wanted.
Oh. Jim and Muriel. So they hosted the party, and Patrick Knight do you know what I'm saying? So they hosted the party. They're pissed off, right?
Yeah.
That like
Michaela Joy Sitton was her full name.
Right. So like I said, Patrick Knight is the surviving father of Michaela, right?
No. Michaela Joy Sitton, Jim and Muriel Sitton.
Okay.
Were
hosting.
And I'm pretty sure that they were the
okay. Patrick Knight, though,
parents.
His pregnant wife was killed.
Yeah.
So they're kind of together being like, you know what I mean? This is
they were all pushing for it.
Happened. Right. But
this
we'll get into
Jim in the courthouse.
Right. So that is Sitton or
Sitton.
Knight. Okay.
Sitton.
Okay, sorry. There's a lot of people in this family and different names.
Yeah, it was primarily extended family, it seems like. There was the
Sittons,
and then the marriage family.
The marriage family was the one that came over there, and their son was not invited, but they were the ones that kind of told him it was okay to come to this other person's house that he wasn't invited to.
Yeah.
Which plays in put that away. Yeah. Tuck that away because we'll talk about it later. But that's what we're dealing with here. Yes, the state of Florida had, on the other hand, had different plans for Paul. In the end, Paul got a plea deal, sparing him from the death penalty and instead ordering him to serve 7 consecutive life sentences, although he would be spending the rest of his natural life in prison without possibility for parole. Michaela's father was understandably unhappy with the life part of the sentence. Jim Sitton literally got on his knees in the middle of the courtroom and begged the judge to give Paul the death penalty. Unfortunately, his pleas fell on deaf ears. So that was the picture that you just showed, I think, right? Of him showing
that picture
his...
there is from the initial news conference when they're doing the manhunt for him. Mm-hmm. And then there is another picture of him later while he's in court, but not a picture of him when he's actually on his knees begging the judge. That just
and
came from
there's a lot of things in this case that were kept like under wraps or not around anymore. So like, again, a picture of Patrick Knight, the guy that was in the coma, cannot find that. But yeah.
So since 2009, the surviving members of Paul's family have done their best to move on. Michaela's parents, Jim and Muriel, had the hardest struggle ahead of them. 10 years after the massacre, Jim and Muriel sat down for an interview where they gave insight on their mourning process and updates on their family. After losing their only child, Jim and Michaela grieved for years. They had experienced difficulties when initially trying to have a child and worried that they might never have a child again. Thankfully, in 2012, they were blessed with a second daughter named Natalia Grace.
What?
Their new bundle of joy brought happiness back into their lives after having it stolen away from them by a chubby, cowardly monster. The whole article with the interview with Jim and Muriel Sutton, it's a really, really good read because they talk about how at first it was just crushing. And Jim talks about this specific moment where, like, I don't think he ever really stopped going through the grieving process of losing a child or any loved one.
Right.
But at one point, he woke up and it was early in the morning and he heard Muriel singing Amazing Grace to their daughter. And all of a sudden he was like, okay, everything's going to be fine. We got this. We're gonna make it through this.
Yeah.
It was a great, great story in terms of what they had to go through before that.
Hey, silver lining, they got to meet John Walsh.
Yeah, there's
how happy they are to
John
meet him.
Walsh.
This is the house that they were at.
Oh, shit.
Out in front of the
No,
house
but like these are the two that held the party.
Yeah, okay, Jim and Muriel sitting.
Okay, got it.
And that's the house where everyone got shot?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Damn. I said, goddamn.
Right.
Jim Sitton may not have gotten the public execution he had wanted for Paul Marriage, but Jim can rest assured that as a known child killer, Paul will spend the remainder of his life being repeatedly and violently penetrated by his fellow inmates.
That's what I was going to say. Like, isn't it better that he didn't get fucking the death penalty? Because he's going to get fucking raped.
Whether it be with a sharpened toothbrush, a broomstick, or a part of his cellmate's anatomy, Paul will continually have foreign objects put inside of him against his will. And I think that that's a fate worse
than
death.
I
think that life in prison is much worse than a death sentence.
But what if he's insane, though? Like, what if it's not his fault and he's just got mental health problems and that's...
Well, you know what? He should have thought of that before he went insane and killed a 6-year-old girl.
Right. And he did say, he said stuff to that effect, never confessed officially, but yeah, it was just like, I'm not violent. I don't know what that was when they first apprehended him. They have lots of quotes of him, you know, just being like, I don't know what happened. I would never do that. I'm not violent. He even said when the cops came in, he said, don't shoot me. You were in there trying to fucking Mickey Mouse hang yourself, right? Like,
just let him do it, bro.
He didn't even really want to commit suicide.
Oh, God.
Because you would just walk out with a gun and be like, do you know what I mean? You wouldn't say, don't shoot me, right?
He had at least 3 guns in his possession.
Yeah.
Just shoot yourself.
Pretty good at killing people.
Yeah.
From what I hear.
Yeah.
So you think he just snapped? Like, it was a mental, like a psychotic break?
The fact that he said, I've been waiting 20 years to do this.
But that's the same like the guy that ate the other person's face. He was seeing demons. He would say,
I don't know if that, we can't take his quote as fact, right?
Yeah,
but
true.
I think he had been thinking about it for a while, at least a little bit.
I mean,
every time he got mad, he thought about it.
So at this Thanksgiving, he had not been invited for many Thanksgivings. He was the person on the fringe of the family. He knew it, right? And for someone that has OCD and they're by themselves, like, and the you know, they start to focus on certain people as the problem. Mm-hmm. And it was the sisters, I'm sure. I don't know what Gam Gam, I mean, did Gam Gam really have to die? I don't know. I'm sure he did know that the husbands of the sisters were talking shit as well, or part of him not being invited to stuff. They did not like him. They had said many times, like, we do not want to be around him. We don't feel safe, right? So that's his problem too. Like we were saying earlier, without shooting the kid, we could go, all right, this is pent up family shit.
Yeah.
He didn't even know that little girl.
Never.
Because she hadn't been, he hadn't been around for fucking years. Right. So then what's that? Why did she have to die?
And
although I will say this, before she was doing this, like we said, she had everyone sit down, right? And did the piano and singing performance of the Nutcracker.
Oh God, that would have been awful.
But you know what I mean? And he and the whole no all the family was paying attention to her, right? And not to right. And so he's sitting there again, seething by himself, not eating, not talking.
Pissed
and she's getting all this attention that he never got or whatever or hasn't been getting. And that was something probably, right?
Mm.
That flipped. Like the golden child that everyone's no one's even talking to him. They're just like, fuck.
And he was like, everyone in here is not wearing two pairs of underwear.
Yeah. I know you're only wearing one pair,
if any.
Yeah.
He specifically targeted the women also. The only man that got shot was just Patrick Knight, and that's because he was trying to defend his wife. After Lisa had already been shot, the only people that he was like specifically targeting were his aunt Ramonde, his two sisters, and then Michaela of all fucking people.
It's fucking
just had it out
up,
for this
dude.
Kid to specifically shoot her twice. To
how
make
many
sure.
dudes were in
that
there?
That feels very much like even that yearbook thing. It feels very much like the sisters got a lot of attention in the family. Mm. And if he wanted to make some crazy thing in his brain, it would be their fault that he was going through what he was going through, or shunned to some condo and not invited, and it was their fault, and it's their husband's fault too, and you know.
Yeah. How many males were there?
There were 17 people total.
It had been kind of the end of the night at this point.
Yeah.
So
he reloaded three times or something? Like nobody...
Is it jammed? Yeah, I know. No one fucking took him down.
It's the perfect time to stop him.
I mean,
and he looks
like
a
bitch.
The only
person that tried to do anything was Patrick Knight. But we don't know who else was in the room at the time. Like you were saying, it was the end of the night. A lot of people probably filtered out at that point. But yeah, as far as the official story goes, Patrick Knight was the only person that actually tried to stop him.
Yeah.
And he got shot for it.
And this has torn the family apart even more so because... In the wake of, you know, him not getting the death penalty and things being what they are, Patrick Knight actually ends up suing the marriage family, the mom and dad, because basically they said on November 26th, the appellates Muriel and Jim Sutton, so then... hosted a yearly Thanksgiving dinner for 16 family members. While the marriages regularly attended the gathering, their son Paul did not. In fact, just 1 year prior, the event's host told the marriages he would cancel the dinner if they brought their son. So in an actual lawsuit, they're saying, we didn't want him to come. We had said many times he's not invited. You two brought your weird son, and this is what happens. We're suing you. It's in civil court. The marriages then countersue. These are like, I know. And the judge is like, I mean, he's thrown all of them out. But he's just like, I know, I get it. But like, that's not how life works, unfortunately, guys. Like, you can't sue somebody for inviting or not inviting and then whatever, right?
Yeah.
They really tried, though. And then I'm sure that tears them all apart. So this family at this point. I mean, done.
I think anybody
everyone's mad at everyone.
Anybody with the last name Marriage is probably on the shit list of the sentence of the nights.
Yes.
But I mean, in
even the sisters, because they had texted like, he's going to kill everybody. Don't say anything to dad. You know what I mean? So everyone in that family.
I got a picture of Patrick Knight. I just found an article where he talked about how.
This is David Hasselhoff from Knight Rider.
It's got to be something.
No, that's actually him.
It's actually him. That's him.
And he said after all that shit went down, he met this chick and got married and has a kid now.
Oh, so this is his new wife. Okay,
so this is why. He doesn't even want to be a part of this.
Yeah.
That's the only picture. Okay.
Yeah, this is Knight, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Knight regained his strength. We ended up hitting it off and dating, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Oh, this picture was cool, too.
Okay, here we go.
There's homie.
From America's Most Wanted, when they caught him?
John Walsh actually interviewed him after they caught him.
What a G,
really?
Dude.
Yeah, I tried to find the
You couldn't find that video?
The original episode of America's Most Wanted. I couldn't find any of the footage that wasn't intercut in another
YouTube
video.
Yeah, for sure. Great. Great.
But, I mean, but, for the Knights, I can understand the basis of them suing, because it's like if you... So let's say you have a dog that's super aggressive towards other dogs. If you take it to a dog park, it attacks another dog, I think you have the basis for a civil suit because you understand your
dog's aggressive.
I think that's
what they were kind of going off of, and even the precedents in this case was like that kind of stuff.
The same kind of shit.
Yeah, of like dogs or, you know, if you know someone's whatever, but it's still...
It's hard to make it... I can understand the basis, but making that stick is obviously going to be like...
he's part of the family.
Yeah.
Part of your family. Like, sorry, you can't sue for having a weird ass fucking family member.
Yeah, God knows.
On Thanksgiving, too?
In trouble.
Yeah. So that's just like a fun one. Watch out, guys, for that one. The one.
If you got a weird family member that rarely shows up to holidays, mm-hmm. if they show up, just kind of take a break. Go outside, smoke a cigarette. Take a walk around the block with your cousins and smoke some
weed. There you go.
Weed.
Thanksgiving
like
fucking cousin walk, dude. Mm-hmm. Go on a cousin walk.
Take a bottle. My brother-in-law walks right before Thanksgiving dinner. We're real hungry when we get back.
It's called marijuana.
No, we're having an affair.
Yeah, my dad and brother on the way to Bakersfield, like I've said, I think I've told this story, but hot boxed. And I woke up so fucking pissed and high.
Oh
my God. It was just
like,
fuck you, motherfuckers. So hungry, so pissed. I don't smoke weed, and at that point hadn't.
That's amazing.
Fucked up, huh?
I have never involuntarily gotten high, especially waking up high.
Because I'm like in the truck, it takes
horrible.
3 hours to go to Bakersfield. These are my dad and my brother, professional weed smokers. You know what I mean? Where it's like a whole like couple of joints is nothing. And they're hotboxing thinking, oh, she's fine. When she wakes up, she'll be hungry. Whatever. I was just like, God fucking damn it. Start a fight with Grandpa, dude.
I got it. I think.
What?
It's only 2 minutes, and it says it's the interview with him on...
Joel,
on
you are
quality.
Really
it's 14,
killing it.
He's on fire today.
I know.
It's 14 years old, and it's low quality, and it might not be it, so let's not...
Okay, let's just see first. Sorry, guys. We're at the end. If you've made it this far, you're having fun with us now.
With members of the U.S. Marshals Regional Task Force...
Yes.
This is at Key West Motel Room.
That's the motel room.
Paul Michael Marich had no idea what was going on. And once he was in custody, he spoke to the America's Most Wanted crew.
What?
What do you mean by that?
I've had chronic medical problems and mental problems. It's been a nightmare.
Oh. Now I feel bad.
I've been hiding out then.
I didn't even know what to do. I went several times to turn myself in. I was waiting for my parents to maybe make a statement and tell me to try to know what to do.
But here in Jupiter, the mother of 6-year-old Michaela Sitton told John Walsh, the man who shot and killed her daughter, mother, and two cousins on Thanksgiving Day, knew exactly what he was doing.
Anybody who would have seen him that night on Thanksgiving would have seen a stark contrast from the pictures that are now being portrayed in the media of a frightened, helpless man. I mean, he came here very confident, very quiet, and shot everybody in cold blood. And then he walked methodically down that hall at the very end to finish what he had started and curved around into my daughter's room, opened her door, and shot her 3 times. and then left, and I was able to see him. When I was in the house where we were calling 911, I saw a figure walking from that door like this, not running, but just very methodically. It's a haunting image that stays in my mind. So that's the man that was here that night. The silence is deafening in this house. Where once, Michaela would just...
Okay, Jesus Christ. Right. Come on. Come on, Joel. Good job, bud. Yeah, wow. Because, I felt bad for a second for that guy.
That's what I was saying that before. I'm like, I think he's just a psychopath. Like an actual crazy person. And he's... That looked like a dude that was like, I actually still don't know what I did.
Whether or not he's crazy, that guy deserves to be...
It was the plan...
He needs to be out of society. It doesn't matter whether or not he was under his own control at the time.
Right.
Yeah. What he did is unforgivable.
I think he should have been put down like a rabid dog.
Yeah, for sure. That's,
I don't think he deserves to get fucking raped in prison for the rest of his life because he's a psycho.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the little girl,
I would tell you. Yeah.
But it's the little girl that makes him crazy. That's the whole weird thing. Because if he didn't kill the little girl, then I'd be like, fuck him, let him get raped.
It's the planning, dude, that I don't. Because a snap is a snap. But months before planning, stockpiling the money to get away, buying the guns, getting a cover for his car.
I think he's innocent.
Changing the fucking license plates. Man, he's never been more on the wrong side.
I'm kidding.
I know, I know.
I hate this guy.
It's the planning before and after that makes it a little bit different then, right?
Yeah.
Just going crazy?
Well, and him in that interview crying, that means he's not crazy.
He could have been.
That lady was like, that's not who it was. Yeah, there was a guy.
That's what I think overall is that's him showing that he thought that he was a badass and he'd go through with this. And then as soon as he did it, he was like, oh no, I need my mom and dad. Because he even says in the interview, he's waiting for his parents to call him and tell him what to do.
At 35.
Guess what, bud? You just shot 4 members of your own family. They don't want anything to fucking do with you now.
He should have killed himself.
He should have done it before killing everybody else.
100. And all the shit that he had, make it peaceful, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He could have gotten that shit way ahead of time.
Yeah.
Nah, I would have killed myself there if it was me.
Yeah.
You know,
or make the cops shoot you or something, you know, like take that fuck. Anyway,
what do you think's happened to his butthole while he's in prison?
Well, he is getting repeatedly and violently penetrated.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Yeah. What do you reckon?
What do you think, Jesse?
Now, I'll go through it. If you are being repeatedly penetrated in the butthole.
And violent.
Unconsensual, unwanted, puckered up. Okay? You will probably have a prolapse.
There it is.
You know that's gonna happen. It's an injury. That's what Dan likes to say.
At least it's a draw.
That's what Dan likes to say when I say Holloway, when I say prolapse, he goes, that's a fucking injury, Jesse. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is someone that's like, something has happened wrong there. Not supposed to do that.
So in his mind, it's a repetitive stress injury, something along the lines of carpal tunnel, carpal asshole.
I think it is, yeah. Right? I don't know.
Oh,
what
man.
The fuck do I know? Anyways, prolapse, it's a mystery. Nobody
the
knows.
Real ones are fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Can't sit at my desk.
Told
I got
you.
Carpal asshole.
Told you, it's my favorite thing to do to make people, if they don't know what it is, live reaction of seeing a prolapse, real one, for the first time.
That's like a little nice one.
Wait, isn't that a uterine prolapse?
Yeah, that looks like
there's rectal and there's vaginal.
That's a labial prolapse? It's labial prolapse?
No. And that looks like a cervix on the right.
Mm-hmm. But what does Coop know? You know what I mean?
He doesn't know shit.
Yeah, I haven't seen many.
He only knows dude stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I can tell you for sure that's not a
bubble. Yeah. The one on the right is the one I like. All right.
Cut.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy
Thanksgiving.
Cut.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Love you guys. Fucking... Hope you had a good one. Be safe, okay?
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.